Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Molly Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, do you know what is happening in our windy city this morning? Do you know what's going on downtown this morning? Marathon morning, the Chicago Marathon morning, 50,000 runners are lined up on the run through the streets of Chicago today to run 26.2 miles, in fact, through the streets of our city, hoping to finish the race well. Maybe for some people, they're hoping to win. Maybe some people are just wanting to hit a PR. Maybe some people just want to make it across the finish line, having run the entire race. Well, along the race route, there are going to be about 20 aid stations that they set up, and that is a station about every mile or mile and a half or so, and these aid stations have people that are equipped and ready to hand out water to the runners, and a lot of the runners come prepared with something. I think I have an image of it, a goo packet. Has anyone experienced a goo packet on a race? Some of you long-distance people, you know what these things are. They are these packets that you can run with and get into your mouth. I ran a half marathon once. That's my longest distance. And around mile 10, my body was like needing some fuel, needing a boost. And so you squirt this thing into your mouth, and it gets like quick sugar into your system because long distance runners want to avoid something called the bonk. The bonk. Now, when long distance runners bonk, what happens is their muscles have depleted the glycogen stores in their body, and they experience muscle cramps, extreme fatigue. Some of them get dizzy, or I know one guy, can throw you into this like mental confusion, and you don't know where you are or what you're doing, and it's like you are cuckoo. You are like zoned out, and you can't finish your race well because your body doesn't have the fuel, the necessary things that it needs to finish the race well, to finish the race, to get all the way through the race. Now, I want to remind you today that you are a volunteer at an aid station, that God has strategically placed you along a marathon route. And if someone's in race in your life, that you are, whether it's a coworker, a family member, a friend, even just an acquaintance, that God has strategically placed you, maybe at mile 22 of someone's race. And not only are you placed there, you have the fuel that they need to finish their race, that you hold in your hand that water cup, that goo packet, whatever it is, so they can finish their race well, that they could get all the way to the finish line and their marathon. And so today I want to remind you that the nutrients that you have to pass along, I want to give you some pointers about what you have access to. I want to stir you up to stay in position at your aid station along that route. And then I want to give you some pointers on how to deliver that aid. And today we are going to focus on the second speaking gift that we started last week in 1 Corinthians 14. Does my sound sound funny to you too? I know. I don't know. Is it me? Is it my cheek? Is it too? Sorry, y'all. Is that, maybe that's better? Okay. It just was like a little ringy Halloween. Okay. So I want us to go circle back to 1 Corinthians 14, where last week I introduced the two speaking gifts, speaking in tongues and prophecy. And we're going to look at that second gift today, the gift of prophecy. If you weren't here last week, go back and review. But essentially what I was bringing to you was this idea, this concept from what I see in scripture at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fills someone, there is a normal to have an overflow out of our mouth to speak spirit-inspired words, spirit-filled words to people around us. It's just a normal part of our activity as followers of Jesus. And today we're going to do a three-part lesson. I'm going to ask you to, first of all, move two-word prophecy, two-word prophecy. I'm going to encourage you to stew-word prophecy and four-word prophecy. It's a wordy, nerdy day around here. So that's what we're up to today. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about is like, how do we even get in position to hand something to someone who is running their race, to even get something in our cup to pour out to people who desperately need the aid? Because what good is it would it do if I was standing on the marathon route and someone ran by and I just handed them an empty cup? Like, they're like, I needed something to get me through this race. So we want to get in position to even have something to pass out. And so that's where we're going to start. We need to have something to give to people, to deliver from God to people who are running the race. So the first thing I'm asking us to do is to move toward prophecy. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So here's where the gifts of the Spirit start, and even prophecy. Eagerly desire them. This is the first command that Paul gives us. Like, he wants us to really want the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So what is Paul talking about when he says eagerly desire? What was the last thing that you would say you really wanted in life? I know for me, the last thing when I think about eager, what did I really want? What was I like desiring? It was when I was in a season of long-term sickness, I really wanted health. And so what I did was I researched and researched and researched like what my symptoms were and what this could mean. And I bought the things that I needed that was suggested from communities online. I bought the supplements. I spent time like with doctor's visits and constantly on my medical portal and buying the supplements. And every time that Kevin would entertain my voice, I was talking about what I need to do to get better, right? That's what it's like when you eagerly desire something. You guys know what desire is like when you really want something. And I think this is an interesting thing to think about. What is it that you really want? Is it more influence at school? Is it a better living condition? Is it getting to the next stage with your kids when they would just sleep through the night? Or is it a promotion at work? What is it that you really want? Because again, we know we're in touch with this eagerly desire feeling. But then we have to pause and go, well, have I thought this about the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy? Does that translate to my desire for the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy? Like, I know I have an Amazon wish list, and I'm constantly kind of updating my Amazon wish list and picturing what it would be like if that gadget was in my house. But do you have a gifts of the Spirit wish list? Are you picturing what your life would be like with more prophecy in it? You know, is this something you are in touch with? Are we constantly kind of going, oh, that's the next thing, that's the next gift that I really want to experience in my life, Lord? This is where we have to start, guys, with this heart check. Do we really want the gift of prophecy? Do we really want it? Because maybe for some of us, we just have kind of written it off like, it just doesn't happen to me. That's just not how God uses me. That's not one of the gifts that I have. Well, let's take a step back and go, do I really want it in my life? Do I start where Paul says, eagerly desire this, eagerly desire it, to know God's words and his promises for you and other people? Let's just start with a heart check. Where am I at on this command to eagerly desire? The opposite might be what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:20. He says this, do not despise prophecies. And we think of that word despise, and I don't know about you, but that word carries a really strong feeling in my life. Like, I would despise my dentist visit, right? Or I would despise having to go to the DMV and wait in that line, right? Like, we think of it as a really strong term. But actually, the word in the Greek, it meant something different. It means to treat as nothing. To treat as nothing. Or to have no account, of no account. Now, that's a much different phrase in some ways, right? Like, that's a real mild phrase. Like, why would I treat prophecies that way? Why would I treat them as nothing or have them of no account? When I was asking the Lord, like, what keeps me from eagerly desiring? I felt like when I sat and just thought with that question for a minute, I think the only thing that came to mind was like, well, I just think that I'm smart enough. you know, to make them of no account in my life. I have, again, at my fingertips, Google, the world of Google, right? I have just discovered the Reddit community, the field of experts out there that have something wise to say about anything and everything I could ever possibly want to know. And so because I put value there, because I go there as my knee-jerk reaction, that then I can treat the prophetic as of no account in my life. Because I have the wisdom, I have everything I need over here. So then what happens is the prophetic becomes of no account, doesn't it? It becomes as nothing. So we start with this place of desire. We start with this place of desire because what we want, guys, in our life, we make space for. It's just the truth, isn't it? But Kevin and I have really different taste on how we would decorate our home or what we consider art or necessary in our home. And both of us would say that our house is really full. We don't need anything else in our house. In fact, we need to get rid of stuff. We're on that like fine line of like, this probably have too much stuff in here. We need to get rid of it. No more stuff comes in the house. But then his parents move and they call and they're like, do you want your rocking chair that we had in your room as a baby. And of course we can find room for the rock. There it is in my dining room. Okay. Kevin's like, we have the perfect spot. It can fit in this corner. I'm like, nothing else could fit in that corner. But you know, he really wants the rocking chair. We make space for it, right? Or a friend calls and she's like, I got you these pretty cups. I'm like, I can make space for those in my pantry. And every day Kevin's like pulling them out. We don't need these. I'm like, we need these. I can make space for these. Or Kevin's dad was getting rid of his collection of golf balls. And those have to go up on the wall, right? I'm like, thank goodness for a basement. That's all I can say. Thank goodness for a basement. But the point is this, what you value, you make space for in your home. The same is true with our lives. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, where there's a story about this rich woman, this wealthy woman, and she lived in an area where the prophet Elisha would frequent. He would come by on his ministry trips, and she noticed he would come around pretty often. And so what she would do is when she noticed that he was coming by, she would get some food ready, and she would host him. She would say, come, you know, stop here, eat here. She would make a place to host the prophet that was in her area. And she didn't stop there. Once she noticed that he would stop on his way, well, then she tells her husband, let's make a whole room for him. We got some space up on the roof. We can make some space up there. We can turn it into a bedroom for him. We can get a bed and a table and a desk and a chair and all those things, a lamp. We can make space for him. And you know what happened? Is that every time he traveled to that area, guess where he stopped? Guess where the prophet, the one who carried the word of God in that day, stopped? The place that was set aside for him. The place that was already prepared. The woman who was ready to host the prophetic, well, the prophetic stopped at her house. And this man actually brought in a powerful word of God and miraculous encounters with God into her life that I wonder, would she experience if she didn't make a space for him? I don't know. But the point is this, that when we value the presence of the prophet, when we value the encounter with the prophetic, we make room in our house and the prophetic stops by. The prophetic stops by. It flows into our life. We attract into our life what we value, what we desire. And in our desire, we pursue it, don't we? We pursue it. And it's very different concept, guys, than just being open to something. Like, God, I'm open to that. If you ever wanted to do that with me, honestly, church, I think that's where a lot of us spend a lot of our time. I'm open. Well, it's really, really different than going, God, you know what? I am going to pursue this in my desire for it because I see that Paul says, eagerly desire this. Make a space for it. Make room for it. When we desire something, we move towards it. We move towards it. That's what it's like. That's what it was like for me when I eagerly desired wellness in my life, right? So Paul knew that if the church would continue in their desire, eagerly desiring the prophetic, he knew that if that was in their heart, that if they would follow this command, that what would happen was that the revelation and the insight of God would continue to stay fresh and current in the church. as the church continued to grow and expand and hit new places, and as the church would continue to face opposition, persecution, tribulation, that there would be a fresh flow of the inside of God, of the nature of God, the heart of God into their midst, and that the church would be unstoppable because they'd be able to feed off of that current, fresh word that God was delivering. After Jesus went away and he could no longer be with them, he was like, but I know what's coming. If you eagerly desire, then there'll be a flow of my word into the church, and that church will be unstoppable. It will be unshakable. It will be able to continue to grow and build even in the face of persecution. So Paul is saying you have to eagerly desire this as you continue, that God would be known in your day, that he would be heard. That's why he writes, eagerly desire the gifts, especially prophecy. Long for this gift. That's what he's saying. Long for it. Desire it. There's a French author of a book called The Little Prince. And he writes this. This is profound. He says this: if you want to build a ship, don't drum up people together to collect wood, and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. It's like, you want to get something done in your day, don't assign tasks and don't just give work. Teach and instill in people a longing for the vastness of the sea. And this is a principle that I want to encourage us to live by, church. That as you think about mentoring the next generation, as you think about what you want for your kids and what you want for your city, I think that there's a power in, like, will you just long for the fullness of God in our day? Will we long, church, that God would be seen and known, that Jesus would be glorified? Because if we long for the prophetic, then we will work out the mechanics, won't we? If we long for God's voice to be heard, if we long for Jesus' revelation to be known in our day, you know what? Then we'll get over the fact that, yes, it has to flow through a human filter. We'll get over that sometimes it's a little awkward. We'll get over the fact that we're doubting if this is really God or not. We'll be willing to continue in overcoming some of those obstacles if deep in our heart is a God must be heard. The promises of God must be fulfilled in my day. Then we'll figure the rest of it out. And I think that's why Paul started here. Eagerly desire this gift. So this is what I want you to do, guys, to even get in position on the race course. What I want us to do is to set our heart toward prophecy. Move towards prophecy. We decide what holds our affection. We decide what we really want. God, I got to know your voice. I got to know your voice. That's the first thing. The second thing that I want us to do is I want us to steward the prophetic in our life. Paul tells us how. In 1 Timothy 18, he says, Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you. So he's saying, Timothy, there was a time in your life where you had these prophetic words in your life, right? He's saying, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. He's saying, listen, I know what's at stake here for your faith, and it is something that looks like a shipwreck. You guys have seen a shipwreck, right? You know what this is like. That ship, it's in pieces. It's not going anywhere. It's made for the seas. It's made for the immensity of the seas, but it is on its side. It's not doing anything, not doing what it was designed to do, completely stuck, going nowhere. And we've seen this happen to people's faith, haven't we? Like, once they burned for Jesus, and now, well, they're just doing something else, right? Now they're just living in that disappointment that they couldn't overcome. Well, here's how. Paul says, Timothy, use the prophetic words that you were given. Recall them and use them as a weapon in this warfare, in this fight, the battle, fight the good fight of faith with them in hand by keeping them current, bringing them back to life. Because here's why. The prophetic words, guys, they are powerful. They're powerful. Words create, don't they? We've seen it across scripture. Words create. They are more than sounds. They actually can carry an anointing, which is amazing, that God can actually fill words with his spirit, and they can produce, they can move, they can create, they can do things. Prophecies help us fight the good fight of faith. They're a weapon that we use to stay in the fight. because some things in this life, some things that God has for us, they have to be taken, right? Some things God has said, we rest and receive. We just rest and God does it. And some things we have to go get. Some things that he has for us, we have to go fight for. We have an active role to play in those promises. For example, the promised land, the land to Israel. All the way back in Genesis 15 and in Genesis 17, when God is calling Abraham, he's telling him about this covenant he's going to make, and he's saying, I have land for you. I have this amazing place, and he had the boundaries of it all set out, and he laid it out, and he told him what the land was going to be like and the vineyards and all that was going to be theirs, but the only way to make it their land was they had to go in and fight for that land. They had to remove the enemy off of that land and take it, that the promise that was given to them. They had to go take that land, right? And as they went, they had to go every step into that land, recalling the fact God said this was ours. God said he was going to back us up. God said that he was giving us this land, that these vineyards were going to be ours. They could look with their natural eyes and they could see the enemy and they could see how difficult it looked and how much opposition was there. And they had to call back to mind what God had said. This land is given to us. This land is for us and our descendants and the people behind us, right? They had to recall those words and use them in their day of battle. Use them in their day of battle. So God has already arranged for you the possibility of promise. He's already arranged it. He's given you prophetic words either through the Bible or a lot of you've experienced this where someone has given you a prophetic word. You've heard these words and it didn't immediately happen, but that it was designed to be something that you would fight with until that came into your experience, right? So this is how it works with stewardship. Those promises, they don't become our experience until we steward them. We use what God has already said. The promised land becomes our personal land when we partner with prophecy. The promised land becomes our personal land when we partner with prophecy. That's what it means to steward something well, to use it right, to use it in our day, to take care of it in our life. Like, this was a weapon that God has given me to overcome. There was a time when I was praying for salvation for Kevin's parents because they had walked away from faith, and it wasn't even just a casual thing. They kind of went all the way to the other side. They were just getting involved with New Age and some occult, and I was praying for their salvation. And in this prayer time, I felt like the Lord said, Molly, this is taken care of. This is done. I hear your prayer. I know what you're praying, and it's done. They will come back to salvation. And so then when I keep going, and I'd have this fear rise up again, like, they're not walking with you, Jesus. They're not following your ways. Like, I see this, and I would call back to mind, but God, you said you have this taken care of in the spirit. You said that they were going to come to know you. And I kept praying that, and I kept recalling that word, using it like a weapon. And then sure enough, several years ago, Kevin was fasting and praying, and they came back to Jesus. They came back miraculously, came back to salvation. That's what it looks like to use a word as a weapon. And again, I know you guys have these. You have specific promises from the scripture. You have words that have been spoken over you. And I'm sure for some of us, it's been like, well, that didn't happen. Take that word, use it as a weapon, fight with it. That's what it is designed for in your life, okay? That's what it looks like to steward prophetic. We're going to set our heart toward prophetic. We're going to decide to steward prophetic, that we have a weapon in our hand to overcome discouragement, disappointment, doubt, fear, to stay in faith, to stay in faith. And then the last thing we're going to do is that we are going to forward the prophetic, forward it. And here's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Think about your family, your friends, your coworker, people you're doing life with. Do you know anyone right now that needs strength, courage, or comfort? We need this all the time, don't we? Yes, yes, I can think of 12 people. We need this all the time. Life on this earth is hard, guys. It's hard work. It's exhausting. It's overwhelming. And we have the power. Again, we have the power that God has given us to revive, to build up, to empower, to encourage, to fuel people, to fuel people. There is an Old Testament prophet. There's a book in the Old Testament, Haggai. And Haggai was a prophet to Israel in a really desperate time for Israel. The people of Israel had been taken as exile. The Jerusalem has been overcome, and they have been scattered, and they were able to come back to Jerusalem after exile. When they come back, their temple is in absolute ruins. It's in heaps. Their glorious temple, the temple where God's presence dwelt, the one that Solomon built, and it was just, it absolutely represented the splendor of God on earth. It was in heaps. And not only that, their personal property was all, it was taken, and it was, you know, absolutely crushed and annihilated. It was a mess. Everywhere they turned, loss and destruction in a mess. And it was too much for them. It was just too much for them. And God sends this prophet Haggai. And Haggai comes and he says this, the Lord's messenger. He gave this message to the people. He said this, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. God gives them four words. I am with you. That's it. Four simple words. I am with you. But those four simple words stirred something in their spirits, the whole group of people. It stirred something in their spirits, and they got to work rebuilding the temple. I mean, like, what a job they had in front of them. And those four prophetic words, I am with you, it did something to ignite this like hope in their heart, this strength in their heart. Let's get to work. You know, that's what the prophetic does. That's what the prophetic sounds like. I am with you. Where God says, I see you. I hear you. I know you, right? I know exactly where you're at and what you're going through. And so many times, just those words, again, and we can't always see how this is going to happen. And if I was Prophet Haggai, I'd be like, that's it? That's all you got? God, like, I am with you. You think that's going to get the job done? The Holy Spirit fills the words, right? And that's all that's needed in that time. It's like, I'll just deliver what you've given me. And if that's all I got, that's all I got. But again, then there's a partnership. There's a partnership with the Spirit where he comes in and does his part and fulfills the word and does what needs to happen in the life for that word to mean something, to do something. I am with you. My sister was going through something semi-recently, and it was kind of a risky new venture that she was going to undertake, and she felt like this is what I'm supposed to do next, but, you know, there's always questions around our destiny, isn't there? And as she was kind of in the middle of the startup of something, someone out of the blue who didn't know anything about what she was doing texted her. And just basically said, I see this. I see you doing, I see this for your life. It was just a simple, again, few little words. And it was exactly what she needed to hear in that moment to keep going, to go, oh, God is in this. Okay. Like, yes, it's risky and there's stuff to overcome, but that's it. Like, it was the courage that she needed in that moment to keep going. Have you ever experienced that? We're like, just at a moment, someone sends a text with a scripture or someone, you know, sometimes I remember watching Sesame Street with my kids, and like, all of a sudden God spoke prophetically to me through this like cartoon. It was like, oh, you see me, like, you know me, right? Like these words that can bring life by the Spirit in a moment that we need it. That's what the prophetic is like. So in the same way that Israel came back to this massive job, this job that was humanly impossible, we face a mess around us. Whether it's our personal lives, with our kids, our grandkids, our extended family, our cities, our nation, we face a mess in so many ways, even in the church, this place that God wants to inhabit. And it seems like too much sometimes, doesn't it? It seems like we can relate to what Israel was experiencing that moment. And in that moment, guys, people need more than just human thoughts. They do. They need more than the Reddit community. They need more than just our what wisdom could offer in a moment. We need the Spirit of God to fill our words. We need the prophetic in our day. We need revelation. We need a prophetic word that would stir strength, that would stir courage. That's what is needed in our day. We need comfort beyond a funny TikTok. And I love a funny TikTok. I do. But there is more that we need than we can get out there from the world, guys. And that is why God has given us his Spirit. That's why he has given us the spiritual gift of prophecy to release strength, courage, comfort to people, because there is some building to be done, and we know it. We know it. And I want this for us, like our hearts to be stirred, like let's get to work, right? Like come on, church, let's go. Let's do the things that are in God's heart. He has some huge promises for his church, huge promises for his church. And I want to see it in my day. I don't want to wait till heaven and be like, oh, like the seed. No, I want to see the fruit. I want to see the harvest, right? Like I can hold the seed in my hand and see the harvest. I know that I'm going to see the harvest at the same time. Why not ask God for this gift? Why not? Like over and over. Why not wake up in the morning and be like, okay, God, I'm waking up to, now it's dark out at 7 o'clock. I'm waking up to the sunrise, but I'm also waking up. My spirit is waking up to your voice. In the same way, my spirit is waking up to the fact that you want to speak to me and through me to people around me. I was going on a walk this week, and I knew I was going to meet a friend in a couple minutes, and I just turned to the Lord, and I said, God, would you give me something for your heart for this person as I just walk with them? Will you speak? Will you speak? I know that I could fill some space. I know I could fill some space, but I want what you have to say to be released in this moment. That's what I want. Maybe before you step into a meeting at work, God, would you release your prophetic gift on me in this meeting, right? Maybe before you know, you're going to have a phone call with a relative, a friend that you have to send a text. God, give me the prophetic right now in this moment. Would you release that prophetic gift on me and through me in this moment? Why not ask him for this gift? This is what it's for. And what I want, what I'm looking for, when I talk about God put some prophetic power on this gift, is that it would be something that would cut to the heart. Remember, Peter stood up after Pentecost and he preached, and it said that the word cut to their heart, that it pierced their heart. That's what we're looking for. And it could sound, again, church, I want us to get a hold of this. It could sound very ordinary, but when the Spirit is on it, it can pierce the heart. It can cut to the heart. So God, let it be ordinary. Let it be extraordinary. It's okay. I just want your Spirit on it. I just want the prophetic power on it when I speak. That's what we want. More than noise, we want something in our cup to hand to people who are running their race. So I'm asking you to set your heart toward prophecy. I'm asking you to steward the prophecies that you've been given, and I'm asking you to forward prophecy on. Can we do that, church? Let's be a church that it just flows through us. Like the prophetic gift just flows through us because we're eagerly desiring it. We're asking for it. We're using it as a weapon in our day. And so Jeff is going to come up and help me with this, but we're going to ask for this gift right now. We're not going to wait. Why would we wait? We're going to ask for this gift right now. And then Jeff is going to lead us in just a little workshop time. And I'll be here to be your wingman and support you. But let's go ahead, give him some instruction.
Wing person. So let me give you an example. And this is a setup. I didn't tell Molly I was going to do this. But Molly, I have a word for you.
Okay.
I believe I have a word for you. So I know that there's like a side gig coming up for you. There's a venture. I don't know anything about the details of what that is, but I got this image of these perfect golden grains of wheat. Mm. And there was just a scattering of them. They were perfect. They were beautiful. Mm. And they were desirable. But they were few. And so there's a little doubt, a little concern that there's so few, because you're looking for a mound of grain, a big mound of grain. And it's the same grain. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Mm. That's what you're looking for. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, follow the little ones, follow the individual ones. They will lead you to that mound. Mm. And I feel like there will come a time when you're going to get to that mound and it's going to be intimidating, like, all of this, and you're going to feel like, I don't want to touch it. It might like fall down. It might scatter. But there's going to come another time when you are going to just throw your arms wide and just fall into that pile of grain, because you know it's there. You know it's going to be there, and you're provided for.
So good. Thank you. All right. So I will go back and get that word, because like it's hard to take it all in, but I'll get that word and I'll write it out and I will pray. God, you said, right? That's how I will steward that word. Like I will pray that thing into being. So Yeah, thank you.